This program is sponsored by Katrina Christensen. Hello, hello, and welcome to Home and Away. I am Stella Zachariasen, your host for the next hour or so. This is an English program designed for integration and entertainment purposes. And now, 8 years later, people from all over the world listen to the programs. We are so grateful to people who send us messages telling us how informative our programs are. My guests today are the lovely couple Annette and Raymond Nilsson. Annette is originally from Germany and she has been on the show before, but now she is here with her husband to share their story. We are going to kickstart the program with one of their favorite songs, so don't go away, we'll be right back after this.
Ich denke, ich schreibe euch besser schon bei Zeiten und sag euch heute schon endgültig ab. Ihr braucht nicht lange Listen auszubreiten, um zu sehen, dass ich auch zwei Söhne hab. Ich lieb die beiden, das will ich euch sagen, mehr als mein Leben, als mein Augenlicht. Und die werden keine Waffen tragen. Nein, meine Söhne geb ich nicht. Nein, meine Söhne geb ich nicht. Ich habe sie die Achtung vor dem Leben, vor jeder Kreatur als höchsten Wert. Ich habe sie Erbarmen und Vergeben und wo immer es ging, lieben gelehrt. Nun werdet ihr sie nicht mit Hass verderben, kein Ziel und keine Ehre, keine Pflicht. Sind's wert, dafür zu töten und zu sterben? Nein, meine Söhne geb ich nicht. Nein, meine Söhne geb ich nicht. Sicher nicht für euch hat ihre Mutter sie unter Schmerzen auf die Welt gebracht. Nicht für euch und nicht als Kanonenfutter. Nicht für euch hab ich manche Fiebernacht verzweifelt an dem kleinen Bett gestanden und kühlt ein kleines glühendes Gesicht. Bis wir in der Erschöpfung Ruhe fanden. Nein, meine Söhne geb ich nicht. Nein, meine Söhne geb ich nicht. Sie werden nicht in Reih und Glied marschieren, nicht durchhalten, nicht kämpfen bis zuletzt. Auf einem gottverlassenen Feld erfrieren, während ihr euch in weiche Kissen setzt. Die Kinder schützen vor allen Gefahren, ist doch meine verdammte Vaterpflicht. Und das heißt auch, sie vor euch zu bewahren. Nein, meine Söhne geb ich nicht. Nein, meine Söhne geb ich nicht. Ich werde sie den Ungehorsam lehren, den Widerstand und die Unbeugsamkeit, gegen jeden Befehl aufzubegehren und nicht zu buckeln vor der Obrigkeit. Ich werde sie lehren, den eigenen Weg zu gehen, vor keinem Popanz, keinem Weltgericht, vor keinem als ich selber grad zu stehen. Nein, meine Söhne geb ich nicht. Nein, meine Söhne geb ich nicht. Eher werde ich mit ihnen fliehen, als als dass ihr sie zu euren Knechten macht. Ehe mit ihnen in die Fremde ziehen, in Armut und wie Diebe in der Nacht. Wir haben nur dies eine kurze Leben, ich schwör's und sag's euch gerade ins Gesicht. Sie werden es für euren Wahn nicht geben. Nein, meine Söhne geb ich nicht. Nein, meine Söhne.
Welcome back, guys. This is Home and Away, and I'm Stella, and I'm sitting here with Annette and Raymond Nilsson. And it's so exciting that we can talk to them again. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's so nice that you could drive all the way from Vestmanna, you know, considering the weather that was there last night with the snow and everything. And you say it was okay to drive?
Yeah, somebody changed the weather from yesterday to today.
Yeah, sunshine. So why don't we start off by you guys telling us a bit about yourself. Annette, you have been on the show before in 2018. So we know if anybody wants to hear, you know, about your story, personal story, they could go to the show there and listen to it on our website. Raymond, why don't we start off with you? Why don't you tell us a bit about yourself?
I'm afraid it's not very interesting. I'm born in Faroes in a village called Vestmanna, very, very long ago, back in 75. And I lived there as a child, and that was just normal village life, most of it. And then I took an education as an electrician in that village. And after that, I worked a bit on land on a shipyard. And then I sailed for a couple of years of on Greenland, catching prawns and such.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I went to Denmark to take the extra course called Installateur. It's an overview building on electrician that you need if you want to run your own company. So that's where I went to Denmark. And then at some point, I met my wife. And
life started.
from there on, it's a common story.
Yes, we are going to get to that story, because I'm interested in hearing, you know, what got your attention over her and things like that. But before that, can I ask Annette if you would mind telling us a bit about yourself?
Well, yes, I'm born in Stuttgart, in South Germany, and there I went to school and high school, and I played in different orchestras. I started to play the violin when I was 11, 12 or something, quite late.
Okay, yeah.
Because normally you start very early, but my father wanted me to play the flute, so but I insisted playing the violin. And then after high school, I went to Denmark. My father was there on holiday, and he said, if you want to study, this is the most beautiful country to study. It's Denmark. It's much nicer than Germany. So I went to Denmark to, and lived with the family there. And there I started to study at the university in Odense, Russian language. And I did that for 4 or 5 years or something. I finished there
the language.
Yeah. Everything about Russia, actually.
Okay, so you speak Russian?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So
about
it was everything about Russia, history and literature. I especially studied Dostoevsky, which I liked quite a lot. I wrote the last piece which you have to write. For your master, it was about Dostoevsky's Prestuplin in Nakazania, crime and punishment.
Okay. So, so you were doing that. So, is it usual for, you know, if you want to study for higher studies or something different for you to go from Germany to Denmark or any other places to study?
No, it's not usual at all.
She has never been usual.
It was just because of my father's point of view that it's so nice there in the universities. And in Denmark, there are not so many students as in Germany. It's filled up everywhere. And there you really felt
home.
Yes, it was very nice with all the teachers there and the others who were studying. We had a lovely time there.
Yes. And so you were studying there, and Raymond, he went to Denmark. How long ago was this that you met Annette?
You have to go back to 1980.
Okay.
I went there in the beginning of 79. The education I took there took 1.5 years. And then we met somewhere around January 80, first time, and there were a couple of practical things. An old bicycle, as an example.
Oh, this story we should tell a little bit about.
You can tell it.
Okay, she will tell, but maybe I would ask Raymond how, you know, he met you and what attracted him to you and things like that. But I think, I don't know if I heard it right, that you mentioned you were born in 1975 and then you went to Denmark in 79.
No,
but do you mean
57.
Yeah, I thought so. Okay, just so that...
57.
Just so that we have that under control. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, go ahead. How did you, like, what attracted you to Annette?
Well, we should maybe
actually it started by the bicycle. Her being attracted to me.
Okay. Do you think I should?
But there
ask
were
her?
Some funny casual things there at the beginning. She had some teaching hours at a school called Kratholm, and she used to use the bicycle for transport. And then someday her bicycle got stolen. And she got another old one, and that old thing she got there didn't work properly. And then at the school, she complained to all the teachers there about this bad bicycle that didn't work. And one of the teachers knew me, and she said to her, that shouldn't be a problem. I know somebody who can fix everything. And then she came to me with her old bicycle.
No, I didn't come. Huh? You came.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the bicycle and got it right. And then she asked what what I had to take for it. And I said, okay, you can give me a cup of coffee someday.
Okay. You got straight to the point.
And that cup of coffee went to many cups.
Yes. I can see where how the story goes. So she was the damsel in distress and you were the knight in shining armor.
but there was no white horse.
No. Just a bicycle.
Just a bicycle,
yes.
A black bicycle.
True. So
this was black. I mean, in Faroese you call a bicycle a wheel horse.
Mm-hmm.
So in some sense, there was a horse.
Yeah, exactly. In the Faroese version. That was Raymond's version of how, you know, he met you. What's your version? What attracted you to Raymond?
Well, I knew before him, I knew his cousin. And the cousin was from Kotlafjell. And then through the cousin, I saw you the first time because I had some Sunday school with the cousin. And then I asked Ramon to help with the music. It was outside and things like that. And then he came there. That was before the bicycle story.
Okay.
And I didn't know that he would fix everything. But I thought it was... The many cups when he came with the coffee, we had so many very open discussions, which were very, very nice.
Yeah.
So I really appreciated that a lot. And then one day, my mother, she was sending a package with some marzipan.
Okay.
That was in May. And then I thought, oh, that is nice, this marzipan. I will ask Ramon to share the marzipan. And I bought some apples. And then I went to his house. He was living not so far from my house, so it was 2 minutes to go to walk. And then I asked Grandma, "Oh, you would like to have some marzipan?" Wasn't that the same evening where you wanted to have the translation about which was?
No, I think it's two different things. The translation thing is funny.
Okay.
I knew from my cousin that she was German, and I had bought a calculator.
Yeah.
From some German shop, and it came with the German user manual, only German.
Yeah.
I didn't know a single word of German.
Yeah.
So I asked her to translate this user manual for me. And she could read the German thing, but she didn't understand the flip of the math.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful funny story.
Yes.
Complicated. I understood actually more about that.
Yeah, when you were explaining, you didn't know what you were reading, but you just translated. Yeah.
Without knowing what it is about.
Yeah. And remember, to those who are listening, this is time before internet and, you know, all the Google Translate and all those things. So, yeah.
Things were on paper back then.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah,
but to come back to the marzipan,
There
we had that marzipan, and that evening in his little room, it was in the cellar. We decided to be a couple.
Yeah,
and that was the main
event.
Party. Yeah, event even more than afterwards the marriage and everything else. That because every year in May, my mother was sending marzipan.
Oh.
So we have that marzipan tradition. Even.
So we can easily say that the marzipan brought you together.
The marzipan.
Or like made the decision of being a couple. So now that
as a sweets bringing three people together.
Yeah. And it never fails, doesn't it? I have told on the show before that the way to the man's stomach is through some kind of a food. And you showed him marzipan and he just fell for it. But anyway, guys, that's a very nice story of how you decided to be a couple. And it's funny because I'm going to, every time I think of you, every time I see you, I'm going to think of marzipan.
10th of May.
10th of May. And
1980.
Yes. We are going to take a little break. And when we come back, I would like to know about what made you take the decision of, you know, then about your marriage, the children moving to Faroe Islands and things like that, and we'll take it from there. So, the songs that you have chosen, they are they German, all of them?
No, the other one is Jacques Brel.
Mm-hmm.
He's dead now. He died when he was 35. He's French. Yeah. And he is half French and from Netherlands. So he is singing about the country which is totally flat, which is like in North Germany.
Okay.
And I had I still have friends from France, and we often went to North Germany because we had a holiday house there, and we were always singing that song.
Okay, so let's hear it.
Avec la mer du Nord pour dernier terrain vague. Et des vagues de dunes pour arrêter les vagues, et de vagues rochers que les marées dépassent et qui ont à jamais le cœur à marée basse, avec infiniment de brumes à venir, avec le vent de l'est, écoutez le tenir, le plat pays qui est le mien. Avec des cathédrales pour unique montagne et de noirs clochers comme mâts de cocagne où des diables en pierre décrochent les nuages avec le fil des jours pour unique voyage et des chemins de pluie pour unique bonsoir avec le vent d'ouest. Écoutez le vouloir, le plat pays qui est le mien, avec un ciel si bas qu'un canal s'est perdu, avec un ciel si bas qu'il fait l'humilité, avec un ciel si gris qu'un canal s'est pendu, avec un ciel si gris qu'il faut lui pardonner, avec le vent du nord qui vient s'écarteler, avec le vent du nord, écoutez-le craquer, le plat pays qui est le mien, avec de l'Italie qui descendrait l'Escaut, avec Frida la blonde quand elle devient Margot, quand les fils de novembre nous reviennent en mai, quand la plaine est fumante et tremble sous juillet, quand le vent est au rire, quand le vent est au blé, quand le vent est au sud, écoutez-le chanter, le plat pays qui est le mien.
All this talk about marzipan makes me crave for some marzipan over coffee now. But anyway, welcome back, guys. So why don't we pick up where we left off? You know, so you guys decided to be a couple. Tell us about your wedding and, you know, how you moved to Faroe Islands, the children and things like that.
Yeah, sometimes it's just practicalities who decide things. Originally, we planned to stay in Denmark, but back at that time, there was a lot of unemployment in Denmark, so it was difficult for me to find a job, and she had to do her studies. But at that time, her studies were so far that she could do the rest as what we now call online study.
Okay.
So she took the work with her, and there was no trouble for her to move to Faroes.
Yeah.
And I got a job here, and that's the reason that we we decided to move to Faroes.
Yeah.
And
then you got married here?
I got that job in Faroes can't remember, April something in 81. And we decided to marry in Denmark anyway, because we had to bring the German and the Faroese people together.
Yeah.
And we thought it would be nice to do that in the middle. So the wedding was arranged in Denmark. And I went to Faroes to work in somewhere, I think it was April. And then back to Denmark for the wedding and those things there. We had wedding for a week, like in the old fairy tales.
Yeah.
Because we had brought all these people together, and then we had the wedding, and we made some
celebration
and excursion. How do you call it?
Excursion.
Yeah, excursion.
So we had one week.
Around in Denmark for around a week.
Celebration.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds really nice.
And then we packed our things and moved to Faroes.
Wonderful. And now you have children, grandchildren. How many children do you have?
Well, we got three children, but the first died.
Okay.
And so we still have two. And then we have five grandchildren and six bonus grandchildren.
Okay.
So it's 11 together.
So you have enough to do.
Yeah,
enough around your hands. They really make your life so bright, don't they, grandchildren?
Yeah.
Now that you have been here for how long, Annette, have you been in Faroe Islands? From 80 or?
Yeah, 82.
Yeah, 81.
81.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So many years. What has been the most challenging time during the early years of your relationship and how have you dealt with it? Because the reason I'm asking this question is, as I told you during the break, that the time in those days, there was, no internet. There was no, I don't know if there was email even. I don't even remember. So, things were so different in Faroe Islands. And because there were so few foreigners in Faroe Islands, people who came here just naturally had to integrate with the Faroese and within the Faroese system. So how was it for you? What was the challenges and the victories you faced, both of you?
Well, for me, it was a big challenge in that way that I saw that the Faroese woman, they're very practically, which I wasn't at all, because my world was more the books and the music and this kind of things. And just for instance, baking these small bread.
Buns and things buns. Like that, yeah.
Yes, that was a big problem for me because I had no idea how to bake. And when we were in Denmark, you could go into a shop and just
buy
a package where you just put water in and it was wonderful buns.
Yeah.
And Raymond said, so before the marriage, you could make 90 of these buns. They are very nice, your buns. And then I was buying a lot of these packages. But yeah. When I came to the Faroe Islands, you couldn't buy these packages.
Not before. Now you can, but before,
yeah,
I know.
Before you couldn't. And I thought, oh gosh, now he wants to get these buns.
Yeah,
bollard buns. I have no idea how to do that. Then I bought a kind of flour where there was a recipe, and I thought, well, I make the half of this to see how it turns out. And I just had it in the oven and put it out again from the oven, and his mother came, and there were only 9 buns.
Okay, yeah.
And but they turned out very light, very nice. And then she said, why do you just make 9?
Because that's definitely not Faroese, isn't it?
No,
you make a lot of food.
She usually makes 50 at the time. Yeah. Well, I said, I don't eat so much. It's just for Raymond.
So you gave up your part of the buns. But
when she had gone, I was writing down exactly what I had put in. Mm. And I used that recipe so every time. So
That's nice. Raymond, did you have any challenges being in a blended or mixed marriage? And then you have a wife from a different country. Did you feel like you had an obligation to teach her the Faroese traditions and the Faroese ways?
There are two things in it. One part is that I had to figure out how to deal with her family, and they were old German, and the only language was German. Okay. But we used to speak Danish together, so that you can call the, as when we speak about something serious, we still use Danish.
So when you are like angry with each other, you are just like talking in Danish.
No, not angry.
No.
When we're nice with each other,
serious.
We talk Danish.
Okay, when you're angry.
When you're angry, we talk Faroese or German.
Okay.
So you can always know by the language.
Mm-hmm. That's
what's
a good
going
way.
On.
Yeah, that's true.
But I had to learn this this German thing, the language.
Yeah.
And I did it the natural way with her father. The good thing with him was that he had a very good humor.
Okay.
So we used to sit with a bottle of wine and a big book of jokes, and that's the way I learned German. Means I can't speak real German, I just speak the dialect that
they
speak down there. And that's one thing. Looking back, okay, it was a job to be done, but it was nice.
Yeah.
And then all this German culture... I had to find out what's the point, why are they acting like they do, and all that stuff. But I think I got along with it. And then for her to come to Faroes, I had to, let's say, modify my traditions to fit a bit to hers. She didn't like the special Faroese food, still doesn't like much of it, so I had to accept that my dry meat can be in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And a lot of practical compromises,
yes.
I think.
That's very understandable, of course, that you had to do that. So you met her in the middle.
Yeah.
And did
yes,
she...
also with our taste. Just the first Christmas we had. So we were always used to have real candles on the Christmas tree, you know, that was our tradition, you know. And I couldn't imagine having electric lights in a Christmas tree. And so we had a terrible discussion before the Christmas Eve and until 4 o'clock in the morning. And then we just slept and were very...
Upset.
And he went to Torshaven to work, and I went to a shop, and a little shop in Vestmanna, and I asked whether they had some electric lights for the Christmas tree. And then I went to home and phoned to him, and I said, I found some electric lights. Oh, he said, I have found some lights. Real lights.
Oh, okay.
For the Christmas tree.
Oh, that was sweet. So what did you have at the end?
Both.
Both? Okay, that's very nice to hear. So nobody had to compromise. Talking about this, I wanted to ask you if you have any special traditions and values from your countries that you mix in your family. Of course, when you are living in Faroe Islands, it goes mostly according to the Faroese way with the children and grandchildren. But Anna, do you have any special German tradition that you still carry on in the family?
Well, one thing is, which we already talked about, it's the music, because our background was more the classical music, where his music background was quite different with... Yes, and so we had to...
You know, the Faroese way to do music, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And so we had to compromise and find a kind of music which fits to both. So either we do the classical part, then Ramon plays the guitar, I play the violin, or very often we played also the piano and clarinet. He played the clarinet.
We talked about your music career, and you have been a violin teacher here in Faroe Islands. People in Faroe Islands know you very well for that. But at the same time, you as a couple, you play music together, which I have often heard, which is beautiful. Raymond, we didn't talk about that. We talked about you can fix everything and you're an electrician, but you have a music career as well.
Yeah, I'm just... what do you call it? Self-teaching?
Okay.
Long time ago, I had... Okay, I have to tell you a funny story about a piano lesson. There was an old lady in Vestmanna who gave piano lessons. And I went there, I was something like 14, 15 or something, for piano lessons. And the problem was that she wanted me to play... by scores. And I applied the thing my own way, made something different out of it. And after 3 lessons, I think she concluded, you'll never come to play the piano. Please go down and fix my washing machine. So this was the end of my piano lessons.
Okay. And you never took it up again?
I just played it.
Yeah.
Okay. I can play it if I want, but I just played my own way.
Yeah. according to your own way. That's very interesting to hear. We still have a lot more to talk about, so we are going to take another break. We are going to listen to Eva Cassidy, Autumn Leaves, chosen by you, Raymond. Yeah. Is there a special reason?
I think the story of Eva is very special, and she herself is also very special. I never come across the combination of such a voice and such a guitar play that she has.
Yeah.
Sadly, she left us too early.
All the good ones do, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most of the time. So let's listen to it, and when we come back, we'll talk a bit more.
That's before we got all this electronic stuff, just acoustic.
Yeah.
Most of all, my darling, when autumn leaves start to fall, I miss you most of all. My darling.
That was very relaxing to listen to. Could you guys tell us about what are some of the happiest moments in your family life, and how do you keep the fun in your marriage going now that you have been married for a long, long time? You are able to tell that.
I don't think it's so much about fun. I think it's more about cozy. It's more about doing things together in some kind of relaxed mood, and have some experiences together, and I would say a desire to understand each other is important.
True.
So I don't recall any special happy moment, but a lot of good experiences together. There was such as go fishing with the kids, go up in the mountains with a tent for a couple of days, be out in the boat. And in Germany, we once hired a camping wagon and spent 4 or 5 days in some forest there with the kids. And more things like that.
Yeah.
And then just an evening together, sitting at home, playing music and discussing how to play this and what to do next and such.
That's true.
My world is more in that, let's call it cozy, in some relaxed, harmonic environment.
Yeah, that sounds...
So I think that's the way we keep it going.
That's very nice to hear. And it seems like you guys enjoy outdoors a lot.
In summer.
In the summer, yeah. Not, of course, when it's winter in Faroe Islands. Annette, do you have anything to add to that? Any moments that you recall that are special?
Yes, well, we also had some holidays in between where my parents took the children. And once we were in North Italy, Südtirol,
mm-hmm.
And that was a wonderful time with sun, and we, especially the people we met there.
Yeah.
Moidl.
Yeah, one elderly lady who had gone to school for 3 years and lived up in the mountains. And then she had lots of cats in her house and everything. And in the kitchen, there was a big pig hanging over the oven.
Okay.
So, and the other people who were working with wood, they were coming with their woodwork, hanging it beside this pig, because then it would look old-fashioned,
old,
and they could sell it for much, many higher prices. And things like that, to experience people who lived such a such a different way.
So you have wonderful memories from there.
Yeah.
A little funny story about that lady there. She had a wall clock hanging, but only the time pin, the minute pin wasn't there.
Okay.
So I asked her, this is a Catholic area, so I asked her, how do you deal with the small time lapse? Well, what do you mean? When you cook an egg, how do you know? Oh, that one's easy. Soft egg, pray one time the Ave Maria.
Okay.
Hard-boiled, pray it 2 times.
Wow.
That was her message.
I'm going to remember that forever. That's a good one.
Just a different world they live in.
That's quite interesting to listen to. And, of course, I could talk to you forever, but we have come to the end of the program. I would like to ask you, what piece of advice would you give others in mixed marriages and blended families?
Yes, I would advise that the wife and the husband should talk in their language, their own language, with the kids, and not mixing it. So, for instance, Ramat, he was always only talking Faroese with the kids, and I was talking only German with the kids. But in the beginning of our marriage, we talked always Danish together because that was natural for us. But when Angelica, our daughter, the older one, was about two, she was playing with a doll and had her little flute next to the doll and explaining the doll everything about that flute. And she said, oh, Mama, she says, eine Flöte. And Papa, he says, in Flöte.
No, ein
Flöte.
Yeah.
And but when you are married, you say, in Flöte.
Okay, so that's...
And when we had that conversation with the doll, then we said, oh, we have to not talk anymore Danish together at all.
So we that's should, a great advice. Yeah. That's wonderful. So people who are listening to that, maybe they can consider that. Raymond, very quickly, do you have any advice to add?
I think it's important to pay attention to the culture of the other part. And it's important to learn the other part's language and culture. And I keep coming back to that. I think the main point is keep curious, keep the desire to understand alive.
True. That's a good one.
I think that's the best thing I can say about mixed marriages. But in general marriages, I would say the two important things that have kept us together. Number one is no secrets. And number two is organized time together. We used to have, you can call it a business meeting or a date, every Sunday evening after the kids went to bed, because we found out when the kids came, we didn't naturally have alone time together. So we needed to get that organized. And we kept a diary of what we were talking about and the problems and how to solve them and how to keep going.
Yeah.
And I keep that's the thing that has kept us on track.
That's actually really good two advices. We haven't heard that before in the show. Usually we hear about, you know, learn the language or different things like that. But that's actually really good advice. So thank you so much, guys. We have come to the end of the program. Of course, we have a lot to talk about, but we have to keep it within the program. But we don't want to let you go empty-handed. So we do have a surprise for you. And we have a gift card from Katrina Christensen. We have talked about it before. So
if they listen, I guess they will have to find some sugar cubes.
Yes,
for next
Raymond,
time.
My favorite.
Yeah, Katrina Christensen, if you are listening, please keep some sugar cubes for Raymond when he's coming. So this gift card is for Umm Salam's Chert. I don't know if you have tried it.
Yes, mm-hmm. I have tried it. It's delicious.
Very delicious. So Sunday evening, your time, where you can go and enjoy this wonderful meal. Oh, and it's their
wonderful
gift to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much
for coming here and opening up your hearts and sharing your story with us. And to you who have been listening to this program, hope you enjoyed the show. This program will be replayed tomorrow at 9 a.m. and we'll post the link shortly afterwards. I'll be back next Monday with another couple. Till then, goodbye and take care.
Verden er mobiliste, der ufrer såret rundt. Hvad fremtiden vil bringe, er der en der ved, om vi er købt eller solgt. Men en ting er ved, hvordan det så går, vil holde min snue med sin. Føn og klæden nok vi får, og resten får gå som de vil. Ja, resten får gå som de vil. Men har jo sit jet om de sin tid, og så ting der ikke så god. Men spørg mig ikke hvad det er har sit, jeg skal ikke blæse i nogen. Mit liv er egentlig så nemt og så skøn, og det vil jeg ikke sætte på spil. Himlen er blå og græs det er grønt, og resten får gå som det vil. Ja, resten får gå som det vil. Jeg prøver på at lade være med at tænke, det lader de ejer om. Jeg tager min morgen uden at blink, så længe for nå i min vorm. Nu krummer jeg ryg, for nu skal jeg pisse, og jeg sagde til mig at se lige så stil. Vær til fris, vær til fris, vær til fris, vær til fris, og resten får gå som det vil. Ja, resten får gå som det vil. Solen går langsomt over i vest, mens jeg står og tøger med drøv. De ejer vel sikkert nok, hvad der er bedst, tænker jeg med min røv. Håber om at snart kunne blive trukken hjem, det er som om ting, der står stille. Jeg skal sådan malkes, min patter er en, og resten får gå som det vil. Ja, resten får gå som det vil.